Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, how your word is designed to build us up, to take us from where we are now to where you see us and where we need to be. And I just thank you, Lord, again, that your word is designed to be taught, it's to be shared. It's not designed to be held on to, but to spread. That's what the gospel is all about. So I just thank you that tonight the gospel is going to be spread one more time. And then those of who are hearing this gospel, they're going to spread it also. So we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
When I was growing up, you see the title that I gave the message tonight, The Widow's Mite, The Real Message. When I was growing up, I don't think I ever heard anyone teach about the widow's mite other than to take the widow as being the standard by which all of us are to give when it comes to God's word. Okay? And so the ministers would talk about the widow and how, you see how this woman, this poor widow was. She came to the offering and she gave her last dime, her last mite, her last pence. And she did that for the Lord. How can you not do the same by giving to the Lord? Well, when you spend some time with the record, you keep it in context, okay? And you let the Bible tell you what the context is, and you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you find out that that is not entirely the message that Jesus was communicating when he talked about the widow's mite, okay? I grew up Baptist, and there is a song that we used to sing, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to spare you, but I want to tell you the words. It says, we can't beat God giving no matter how we try. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. Just keep on giving because it's really true. You can't beat God giving. Okay? So, of course, when there's time for the offering, that's one of the songs that they were singing, you can't beat God giving. With the whole point is, just go as deep as you possibly can because whatever you give, God is going to match it or even do better. Okay? But as all of us know, and if we're really very honest about it, we can look back over our lives, we can see how much we've given to the church or given to our favorite ministers, and we know that we have not gotten that money back, if we're just honest about it. Because the whole point of our giving was to get, okay, and not for the gospel. Well, tonight we're going to see what Jesus was really talking about and talked about the widow's mite, okay? And so let's begin in Mark chapter 12, and we're going to begin with verse 28. First of all, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together. Now, what has taken place before this is that Jesus told a parable about a man who planted a vineyard. And so he hired some husbandmen to take care of the vineyard for him. Well, the husbandmen got greedy, and they decided that they would kill the son and keep the vineyard for themselves. And then the Pharisees, when they heard how Jesus gave that parable, they tried to catch him and so that they could persecute him. So they had someone bring him a coin that had Caesar's face on it. And so he says, they want to know, who should we give this money to? Does it belong to Caesar or does it belong to God? And, of course, Jesus said, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Okay? Well, that wasn't enough. So the Sadducees got together, and I'm sure you've all heard this before. You know why they were called Sadducees? They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay? That's why they were sad, you see. All right. So they came up with the problem of the woman who had seven husbands. And since none of them, she had children by none of them, whose wife would she be in the resurrection? And, of course, Jesus said there's no giving of marriage in the resurrection. Okay? So after hearing his response to all this, we get down to verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered in verse 29, "The first of all the commandments." The first of all the commandments. And when he said that this was all inclusive, there was nothing left out. Everything revolved around what he is about to say about these commandments. "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." This word hear, H-E-A-R, means to hear and obey. It's a recurring theme in Scripture. Not only do you hear it, you obey. So hear and obey, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Now, this is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And this is the Shema, S-H-E-M-A, that the Jews, they were raised to say twice a day. That was part of what they did two times a day. They said this, okay, and that's what Jesus is talking about. But then he says in verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." There is none other commandment greater than these. Okay? Hold your finger here and look in Leviticus 19. When Jesus said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself," in Leviticus 19, this is the reference point. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Well, look at verse 17. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." Verse 18. "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Okay? I am the Lord. So we see here that when Jesus says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," he's going back to Leviticus, and one of the key points in Leviticus, you don't hold grudges against your neighbors. You don't try to avenge yourself against your neighbor. Do you see that? You know, we miss that sometimes. And then, of course, in Matthew, we're going to get to it in a few minutes, but let's turn to it real quickly. In Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 40, Jesus says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." On these two commandments. To love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. The law hangs on these two commandments. You see that? So everything about the law was contained in those two commandments. Keep that in mind. Okay? Back to Mark chapter 12. Let's skip down to verse 35, because after Jesus gave that response, the scribe said that, you know, "You answered well, Master, and that to love God with all your heart and understanding and all those sort of things is more than all the burnt offerings." And Jesus said, "You know what? You are not far from the kingdom of heaven." Because he understood what was in the law, what the law was really after. Now, look at verse 35. "And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, 'How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in this doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing. They love salutations in the marketplace, the chief seats in the synagogue, the upper rooms of the feast at feasts." Verse 40, "which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers that they shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, this word houses here in verse 40, it could also mean property, wealth, and goods. Property, wealth, and goods. So what the scribes and the Pharisees would do, they would parade themselves around as being, we are the final authority when it comes to God's word. Okay? We're the final authority. Yeah, we know you have the law, but we're going to help you understand what the law means. And in doing so, what they did, they added bondage to the people. Because the people thought that the law demanded certain things that the law didn't demand. And see, when he talks about devouring widows' houses, close your eyes and think about what Peter says about Satan. He seeketh whom he may devour. And see, when you get devoured, there is nothing left of any value to you. You're gone. You're history. And see, they devour widows' houses. And see, we know from scriptures, widows were to be taken care of by the church, by those in spiritual authority. And yet, Jesus is saying those who should be taking care of the widows are eating them alive, taking all that they have. Okay? So keep that image in mind as we go a little bit farther. Verse 41. Now, Jesus then, after he makes this statement, is about to give an object lesson. Okay? And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So Jesus and the disciples, he's just said what he said about how the scribes and Pharisees, they devour widows' houses. And he's talking about it, and he's looking right across the courtyard. And he's seeing folks going in and giving money. Okay? And notice he says, and many that were rich cast in much. Okay? Hold your finger here and look at Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see something. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay? In essence, what they were doing is this. You know how when we give offerings, we most of the time we will fill out the envelope, and then we'll take the envelope and then we'll stick it in one of the containers. Okay? Well, what the rich were doing, instead of just filling out an envelope, using us as an example, they would take out their wallets, okay? Open their wallets, reach in, pull out a big wad of money, and put it in the plate so everybody would know they put a big wad of money in the plate. Okay? And see, that's what Jesus was talking about. They wanted people to know, I am putting a lot of money in here. I'm not just going to put it in this envelope. I'm going to take my wallet out. I'm going to pull this cash out, and I'm going to stick it in there. That's what Jesus was talking about. They want to be seen. Now, look at verse 42. And there came a certain poor woman, widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And Jesus called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did she cast in what she had, even all her living. And like we talked about before, the way that's been presented, you see this poor widow woman. Yes, the rich man, he put in his money, but he had the money to do it. But now this poor widow woman comes by. She's got two little mites to put into this tray, and she puts it all in for God. and you can't do that? What's wrong with you? You see what this poor widow, she put all in for God. And you're going to sit here and complain about putting in your tithe. What is your problem? So you can see how it goes. Okay? You can see how it goes. Now, in verse 43, this word poor, it means a beggar, destitute of wealth, influence, position, and honor. So in other words, you can see how the religious leaders were preying on those who were depending on them to lead them. Because this poor widow, she was no better than a beggar. Okay? She was no better than a beggar. You remember the person who's in Acts chapter 3, who sat by the gate called Beautiful, he begged alms. This widow woman could have been the same type of person. And yet, she takes her money, all that she has, and she gives it to the church offering. Okay? Now, I want you to see the comparison. Verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance. That word abundance, people, it means leftovers. After they paid their bills, okay, after they spent the money the way they want to spend money, they still had plenty of money left over. That's what they gave. You see what I'm talking about? God wasn't first. God got what they had left over, and it was still a lot. And then Jesus says, but this widow woman, she gave of out of her want. And this word want means poverty or destitution or destitute. In other words, she gave out of money that she really needed to keep. And then he says, and not only that, she gave all her living. She gave away the money. She gave away her rent money. She gave away her DP&L money. She gave away her grocery money. Do you see the picture? All these rich folks, they gave out of their leftovers. After they paid their DP&L, they bought their groceries, they paid their house note, they gave out of what they had left over. This woman gave what she should have used to pay all of those things. And it still wouldn't have been enough. That's the picture Jesus is showing us. She gave the money she had, and it wasn't enough to cover her utilities, to cover her rent, to cover her food. She didn't have enough money to cover all of it, and yet she gave that money. Now, let's go to Luke and see the same record. Luke chapter 20. No, we got to read one more verse. We got to read one more verse because it makes all the difference in the world. Chapter 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, Jesus, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And that's where we're going to stop. But keep that in mind. Now look at Luke chapter 20. In Luke chapter 20, it's the same record. And my notes said verse 37, but we're really going to begin in verse 39. And again, this is the similar records that's in Mark about the parable of the person doing the vineyard, and then how that they want to know who to give the money. Did it belong to Caesar? Did it belong to God? Then the Sadducees came and asked about the woman who's married to seven brothers and had no children. And then we get down to verse 39. Then certain of the scribes answered and said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any questions at all. And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? So again, we're seeing the same context. We're seeing the same things happening. Okay? We're seeing the same things happening. Let's skip down to verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, remember, so Jesus he's talking to his disciples in front of a lot of people. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms of the feast, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers that the same receive greater damnation. Chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. Again, an object lesson. Okay, he just made this statement about devouring widows' houses. They're looking across the courtyard, and they're seeing folks going in and giving their offerings. Verse 2. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all of these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. This word penury means deficiency, less than what her wants required. Remember I talked about earlier? All the money she had was not enough to pay her bills. And that's what she gave to the church. All the money she had, that's what she gave to the church or to the synagogue. Look at verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said. Okay, so you see that again. They talked about the stones and the temple. Okay, that's very important. Now, Matthew chapter 22. One of the things about attending this church is this is a church that is designed to teach. And the whole reason for teaching is that when you leave here, you go back and study the material, pray in the Holy Spirit, you can teach what you've been taught. That's the whole point. It's not just enough to sit here and hear it and hold on to it. It's all designed for you to take it out and for you to teach it. Because there are a lot of folks out there who think that this story is about a woman who gave her all, and that's what God wants us to do. So in Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 34. And again, we have the same stories, okay? But with a little twist, there was a wedding story thrown in here too, but they're basically the same. But verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? Verse 41. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Remember, we have seen this in every single record. Okay? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any questions. Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what we saw in Mark. That's not what we saw in Luke. What we saw in Mark and Luke were the first thing they talked about was the temple, the buildings, and the stones. We don't see temple, buildings, and stones here. Okay? Go to chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Do you see that? Now, what is in between Matthew chapter 22, verse 46, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 1? Matthew chapter 23. Okay? Matthew chapter 23 is the teaching that Jesus did to get to this widow's mite. Okay? This is the story. This is the real message. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. You only do what they tell you to do when they're sitting in the seat of Moses. Because you know when they're sitting in the seat of Moses, they're giving you the law. That's what Jesus is saying. But then look what he says. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. And we all know what comes to mind. I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear one preached. That's what Jesus is saying. I can't resist this. Barry White, one of my favorite singers, before he passed away, he had a number one hit song called Practice What You Preach. And so I read that and I think about practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. Verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. This word, the heavy burdens were the oral traditions, because the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees helped the people understand what the law meant by their oral traditions. Okay? And the oral tradition was always more stringent than what the law prescribed. And that's why Jesus said they bind heavy burdens on people. There's a lot of binding on heavy burdens on people today in the church. A lot. A lot. And we find ourselves making decisions in the church about money based on what we are taught, instead of really finding out what Scripture really has to say about how we handle our money. Verse 5. But all of their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Remember Jesus talked about that? And greetings in the marketplace to be called a man, Rabbi, Rabbi. So we see how Jesus now is describing the religious leaders. The very first word in verse 8 is but. Jesus, remember, Jesus has been talking. And he and his disciples are looking over the courtyard. They're seeing how the rich are giving their money. And then they see this poor widow woman. She comes in and she gives her money. Okay? And Jesus is talking about that. And then I can just see him turning to his disciples. After he's talked about how they want to be seen with their phylacteries, with their embroidered clothing, they want to see. And then Jesus turns to him and says, but you, I don't want you like them. Can you see that? Jesus turns to his disciples and said, you are not going to be like them. But be not ye called rabbis, for one is your master, even Christ, and all of ye are brethren. You see that? The whole point of Jesus coming was to show that their lives were going to be different. They're going to be known because they followed him. They're going to be doing things differently than what you would see in the world because they followed him. Verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 10. But, verse 11, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. In verse 11, he's saying, I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Servant. When I first looked at this word servant, my mind immediately went to the word doulos, bond slave. But as you can see, that's not what that word means. It's diakonos. And it means a person who executes the commands of another. Okay? So whose commands were the disciples supposed to execute? Jesus. Okay? Jesus. So, get the image here. And see, Jesus, he turns and says this to the disciples, but everyone else in the audience heard the same thing. So when Jesus says, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they want to be noticed. They want you to pay attention to them. They want you to say, Rabbi, it is so good to see you. We are blessed to be in your presence, Rabbi. You are such a wonderful teacher, Rabbi. That's what they wanted. And Jesus was telling the people that. He was telling his disciples that. And then he turns to his disciples and says, you are not going to be like that. You, catch this. You are going to serve. You are not going to be served. And the context here, as we're going to see, is this poor widow woman. Unlike these scribes and these Pharisees who are seeking to be served, instead of serving, you are going to be servants. You are going to be servants because you are a diakonos. You do what I tell you to do. Okay? You do what I tell you to do. So in verse 11, Jesus says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Verse 13. But, and now, Jesus is no longer focusing his attention on his disciples. Okay? So he's turned from talking to his disciples, saying, you are not going to be like the Pharisees. And then he turns to the Pharisees. And he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. You are hypocrites. And I'm saying it much nicer than what he probably did. Okay? Because when you call someone a hypocrite, that's not a good thing. You hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in, that are entering to go in. So in other words, Jesus is saying, I am here to preach the message of the kingdom. You are trying to prevent people from hearing that message and entering the kingdom because you don't want to go in. And so you're not going to let anybody else go in either. Then verse 14, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You do what? Devour widows' houses. And for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. So you see the context here. Jesus was not holding up this widow woman as the example of the type of person we're supposed to be when we're giving to God. That was not his purpose. He was not condemning her. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm simply saying she was not being held up as the model of how we are supposed to give. What Jesus was doing was pointing a finger at a religious system that said, that made this widow woman feel like if she didn't give her last dime, God didn't care. That's what he was doing. He was pointing a finger at the religious system and said, you have to give everything you got in order to be blessed by God. Do we hear that today? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Folks on TV will tell us, if you don't have the money, put it on your credit card. That works. It's good. It'll go through. That's the same thing. We are trying to buy God's blessing. And Jesus is saying, that is not the way my Father works. And see, that's the whole point of this message about the widow woman and her mite. It's not that she was being held up as the model. Jesus was saying, this is what's wrong with religion today. And that's why these scribes and these Pharisees are hypocrites. Because they are the leaders of this religious system. That's what Jesus was talking about. That was the message. And yet all of this time we have been taught that the message is, you want God's blessing, you need to do what this widow woman did. And that is not what Jesus was saying. Look at verse 23. I'm skipping a lot of woes and ye blind fools and all that, because verse 23 is very, very, very significant. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. For you pay your tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were nitpicky about the tithe. I was going to use another word, but, you know, it's a body part that would not fit on a tape. They were so nitpicky about the tithe that they made sure when they gave their tithe of their mint and their anise, you know, which is, you know, herbs and all those sort of things, that they measured out only one-tenth. They were not going to give any more than one-tenth because that's all the law required. And so Jesus said, they're missing the point. They are missing the point. The whole point is that because they are the religious leaders, they are the ones who set the standard because the people believe, just like this widow woman who was not only close to being a beggar, she was not educated in the law the way they were. So she depended on them to lead her, to tell her, to show her, to guide her in the ways that the law prescribed. And they didn't do it. And so Jesus says, you know what the most important thing that you should have been doing, scribes and Pharisees, is showing judgment, mercy, and faith. And they didn't do any of that. In Micah chapter 6, there's Nahum, and then Micah's just before Nahum, and Micah's just after Jonah. Okay? So, you're going to like this. Micah is between the water and the wall. I thought that all by myself. Aren't you glad that I don't even charge extra for this stuff? I mean, you know what? You got that for just showing up. Look at verse 6 in Micah chapter 6. It says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Isn't that wonderful? God says, I want you to be just. I want you to love mercy. Love mercy. Even though you may have the right to judge, I want you to love mercy. I want you not to judge. I want you to love mercy. So whenever someone wrongs you, you have the right to take them to court. You have the right for recompense. I want you to show mercy. I want you to love mercy. Okay? I want you to love mercy. Because when you love mercy, you are then walking humbly with me. Because I showed you mercy. I show you mercy every day of your life. I want you to do the same. Show mercy. And see, that's what the Pharisees were not doing. They were not showing mercy at all. None at all. When this widow woman walked up to the offering and she pulled out her two nickels that she was rubbing together. That's the only two nickels she had. Someone, being a Pharisee, a scribe, or Sadducee, should have said, no, stop. Your money is no good today. In fact, we're going to make sure that you have enough money to take care of your needs, because that is what the law requires of us as being leaders in the church. Because she was a widow. And widows were supposed to be taken care of according to the law. And you know that the scribes and Pharisees knew she was a widow. You know that. So what was the real message of the widow's mite? Jesus was not commending the woman for giving all of her money. That was not the purpose. Instead, Jesus was angry at a religious system that made this woman feel that giving her last dime was the only way God would bless her. Jesus admonished the disciples to serve people like this woman instead of being served. And then finally, Jesus reinforced the message that God cares more about the person than he does about the person's money. That's the message of the widow's mite. You know, I am so glad that the things that we think are important often are not the things that God thinks are important. Because, see, living in this country, we think that money is the answer to everything. If you have enough money, you can solve all of your problems. I learned a lesson a long, long time ago, and I don't remember where I heard it from, and I don't remember who told me, but the lesson was this. If money can solve your problem, then you don't have a problem. Because when you have an issue that money can't solve, that's a problem. So if you have a problem that money can solve, then you have a money management problem. You don't have a money problem, because there are health issues that no matter how much money you have, won't do a thing to it. The only thing that's going to take care of that health issue is getting on your knees in the presence of God, praying, confessing the word. It's the only thing that's going to take care of it, no matter how much money you have. So tonight, I hope that you have a different view of the widow's mite, and that you understand the lesson that Jesus was really trying to communicate. And I hope and I pray that you not only just hear this message tonight, that you go back, you take what little notes that I have, you spend time going over this stuff again, spending time praying in the Spirit, because now that you have heard this message, you know people out there who have been told, who have been taught the other way this message has been taught, and has not been taught the way Jesus really meant it to be. And so now you can do what Paul told Timothy. He says, Timothy, you teach able men and women so that they can go out and teach others also. Again, when I said earlier, that's the whole point of why we focus so much on teaching in this church, because we want you to take what you hear and you go out and you teach it. You teach it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word that's gone forth. And I just thank you that your word has settled on fertile ground, and that your word is going to take deep roots. And Father, right now I come against Satan that he is not going to steal that word that's been sown tonight. I just come against it right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have people here who are hungry. You have people here who want to serve you and want to give you their best. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to work with them, you're going to energize them, and that they're going to be able to do what they want to do for you. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord. There is none like you. And you're, oh, hallelujah. We praise you. Amen. If you have an offering, bring it up. And if you have a little extra, just put on the other line for Barry so I can get my phylacteries and, you know, my robes and all, you know, I can look nice. Well, God bless you and have a great evening.